Hi, this is Claire, Matt and Kimber, Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
This is our Friends of the Show catch-up podcast with our favourite regulars.
Plus the special guests and celebs who hung out with us this week.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for Allianz Home and Motor Insurance. Ah, Allianz.
Oh, what a beauty.
Talking footy with Dennis Kennedy.
Like a cork in the ocean over his head.
And the West Coast Eagles are premiers for 2018. Who would have thunk it, Dennis Kennedy?
I didn't think it at the start, but now I do. I'm convinced. What a terrific day for WA footy, wasn't it? Everyone's
incredible.
Happy in the city. Great for the city.
Yep.
And Western Australia is celebrating. So great to be part of that. Just a little part talking about it this morning in retrospect. As I say, not too many teams win a grand final after the opposition kicks the first five goals. No. And not too many teams win a grand final after the opposition leads for the first 109 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh. But the Eagles did, and a real gutsy victory.
Yeah, certainly
it's great.
Was.
And also, it's pretty tough too, because at the start of the season, people will say to you, Den, who's going to win? And all the big wigs, everyone will say,
right.
Who do you think's going to win? And that you have to give an answer.
I know
and
where then, you're going with this. 13th,
no,
all right?
I feel bad for all these people
we'll
who
blame
have come
Robert
out
Walls
and said the Eagles aren't going to make it. And now Eagles fans are thrashing them, going, oh, well, come on, you didn't think we'd make the eight. I'm like, well...
Did they?
You're right.
How are you supposed
tough
to guess?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Hard to know. And I've got to say, too, with that win, Adam Simpson passed Michael Malthouse for the winning percentage for a coach at the West Coast
oh,
Eagles.
Oh, really? Wow.
Nice game to do it in, eh?
Brilliant. Yeah.
The
yeah
grand final.
Big one.
He's very impressive, isn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't change, even after the victory.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's smiling, but he doesn't change very much.
Yeah. He stands back and lets the players sort of take the spoils, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Mm. Looking back, the things that stand out for me, Luke Shuey and Dom Sheed were outstanding all day, but particularly in the first quarter. People talk about the last quarter, and that's great, but they had 16 possessions between them in the first quarter, over 20% of the team total. And that was very important. Mm. And those last two goals, I don't think they win the game if they don't get those last two goals of the first quarter.
True.
And if Brody Grundy, Steele Sidebottom, and Jordan De Goey were the biggest threats for Collingwood, special mention, I think, needs to be made of a guy like Mark Hutchings.
Yes.
Superb, I thought.
Yep.
Had Sidebottom shifted to full forward at one stage, where he found Will Schofield. Now, Will played every minute of the game, the only guy in the game to do that.
Really? Didn't
and
go
he
off.
Played on De Goey and then Sidebottom.
Wow.
And beat them both, really. And the ruck combo, this is down the track a bit, but the ruck combo of Lysette and Vardy constantly frustrated Grundy. I thought Grundy would be the difference if I was going to pick Collingwood. I picked the West Coast Eagles marginally. But if they were going to lose, Grundy was the man who was going to beat the West Coast Eagles. And I thought those two, Lysette and Vardy, just spoilers, like a tag team all day, at him, running into him, blocking him, doing the things that perhaps only Grundy noticed. But Grundy noticed enough to be put off his game and play one of his worst games of the year.
Yeah, true.
Now, that was inspiring stuff.
That
really
was.
I was stirred up. I wanted to get that off my chest.
No, well done. Yeah, we mentioned Mark Hutchings earlier, but that's
we
our
did
West Perth bias because he's our boy first.
Lovely boy, too.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Mark.
Eddie McGuire was very magnanimous in his praise of the West Coast Eagles as an organisation, and you were mentioning Adam Simpson. Is that the difference this year as the club evolved in a way, obviously a very positive way? And is that the difference in professional sport? Is that why a club like Hawthorn and Sydney continue even through rebuild years to finish fourth, fifth?
On face value, you would say yes, but really you have to be in it, don't you?
Mm.
Amongst it. I'm not. Mm. So as a result, from an outsider looking in, I think they've done a remarkable job. I didn't think they'd have a great season this year, and to lose Gaff towards the end and Shepherd. What they've done, Nat Nui earlier, of course. So those three players, I mean, to lose them and think they could still win a premiership, I don't know what it means, really. Maybe the competition is just so even now that... there's players waiting to take their chance. When they get it, they go.
Yeah.
And maybe the competition is a little weaker than it was, say, a decade ago.
Yeah, it's like great teams at the right time of the year are winning flags, Dan.
But
also
right
the importance, you know, contested marks or marks in general. We see McGovern do it a lot, but Tom Barras on the weekend. And then you see guys like Mason Cox for Collingwood and Jack Darling for West Coast starting to take marks in the second half. It makes a huge impact.
Yeah, and reputations don't seem to mean as much to some players either.
Yeah.
Some players, I think, in the past were intimidated by reputations. Not so much these days. They come and they're ready to play at about 19 or 20.
Yes.
Some a little bit too young. I think Venable suffered because of that.
Yeah, of course.
In hindsight, but hard to be critical. That forward line, which I thought was going to be the difference, a fast, slippery forward line for the West Coast Eagles, didn't materialise. The two big blokes played okay, Kennedy and Darling, but the little fellas, hard to find.
Mm.
Still, They're all heroes today.
all heroes. They're heroes
today.
For the next 10 years, mate.
You didn't ask me what I did on the day.
We're getting there. We're getting there. What did you do on the day?
Notes. I did
what
keep
do you
notes.
Get to well, do? I imagine they put you in a big box. You get the Dennis Cometti box and they put you in there and you see the game.
With ScoMo.
They gave that to BT.
Oh, right.
Just changed the initials, DC, BT. It's all the same. Interchangeable. No, I rang Bruce in the morning, gave him a G up. That worked.
Well done.
He had a good game.
He did. And what a finale.
And then I watched the footy with my wife, Velia, and the Beast. Now, thankfully, he wanted to watch the footy because he controls the remote.
Right.
So as a result,
he
let me watch the footy. And no, it was a great family day because I've really done that. Just sat down at home and sort of just sat there and watched the footy.
Yeah.
Nice. And ate some more.
Your very good friend, Bruce McAvaney, wrapping up in class. Have a listen to this style.
They've got a brand new stadium, a big one, and they're going to put a big flag up there in a moment because the Eagle has landed.
You can think about how you're going to wrap it up, but that was beautiful.
Well, he's a bit careless. He didn't mention the Dennis Cometti Media Centre. I did tell him to do that.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Great way to wrap it up.
See you guys. It's been fun.
Yeah.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
One of the highlights, of course, over the weekend in the Eagles' victory in the grand final was this.
And the winner of the Norm Smith medal is, from the West Coast Eagles, Luke Shuey.
Yeah. Champion footballer, great bloke, but we're good mates with a partner. His partner, Danny Orlando, in life, and of course, a mother of baby Oliver. Danny Orlando, good morning, mate. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good. How are you?
Good. Danny, we haven't chatted in so long, but congratulations on the healthy birth of little Oliver last week.
Oh, thank you. It's been amazing. We're very, very lucky to have a little healthy little bub. So. And this has just topped it off as well. So awesome.
For those wondering, Danny used to work with us here at Mick, in 92.9, so it's very cool to have a chat.
Yeah, but Danny, knowing you and knowing you've been a football fan as long as I've known too, so you would have loved to have been at the game, but I guess having little Oliver prevented you from getting to see it.
Oh, I know. And Mum and Dad were members of West Coast, in the early 90s, so we really did grow up watching footy. So it was just amazing to witness it and remember the boys have won the grand final and obviously Luke taking home the Norm Smith as well. But when you look at little Ollie and he's just sitting there, your perspective changes when you become a parent. You're just like, oh my gosh, my whole world now is looking after this little guy. And also, being there for Luke, and I just wanted him to have the moment with his teammates. That was more important at the time. So I was very content at home.
Right, that's beautiful. And Danny, from inside, what's it like when your partner wins something so incredible?
Oh, I think I cried. I nearly cried when you just played that audio clip of him getting the Norm Smith. But it's still sinking in. Like, you don't take anything in life for granted. And, like, the boys work hard all year to get that prize, win the premiership with their teammates. And so I think we're still pinching ourselves and it still doesn't feel really real. And when Luke came home last night, the boys had a few drinks and he came home quite early last night. We were sitting on the couch and we were just looking at each other going, oh, my gosh, is this really, is this still really happening? And they've got Ollie there feeding. And it's just kind of like life has just changed. And I said to Luke, if footy finishes tomorrow, you've won a premiership. And he goes, yeah, but I want it again. He's like, I want to go back to back. And I was like, oh, good.
That is unreal. Hey, Danny, what were those last 5 minutes like? And what was it like on Siren Time and then post-match with the celebrations for the boys in the room and you on the other side of the country?
When the siren went, I was really confident the whole game that the boys were going to bounce back. They're just a different team, Like, they're just so different to what they were back in 2015. I didn't feel as nervous for some reason this game. And when the siren went, obviously the tears and the happy tears, and Luke tried to FaceTime me from the Oval as soon as it happened from Stapes' phone, someone who works at the club. So he tried to FaceTime me, but the connection was really poor, so we lost it. And then I had lots of people FaceTime me from the rooms, and it was just it was like I was there, to be honest. It was really, really cool. Everyone took good care of me. And then the parade, obviously, yesterday when I saw Luke for the first time was a very special moment. Yeah. So, I missed out on being there at the G, but in hindsight, how special now that we get holidays together and get to enjoy it with our new little family and, celebrate it.
Oh, congratulations, Danny. We're very happy for you and we know how much you support Luke and he was a superstar. So all season, really, but great on the day. So well done.
Oh, Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
What a day to get a visit from the Prime Minister.
Well, I want to bring up, that's sort of awkward now.
Yeah. Right.
Because we've been saying we're going to chat to the new Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and he's on his way here.
Yes, he is.
But he's late.
He is late, and you know how twitchy that makes me.
Well, you've just talked only moments ago, Matt, about how you can't stand it when people are late because it affects you, it gets you, makes you a bit anxious.
Well, I've just seen people with suits and ties walk in. Oh. That's got to be Prime Minister.
No, that's the company
there
lawyers.
There he is.
That is
in
definitely
real life.
The PM.
No, Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
That's the company lawyer.
That's good, because it was going to get awkward. Matt was, I wasn't sure if he was going to make a bad first impression.
We did talk about those things. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time on Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
Hello? Kimber, nice to meet you.
G'day, Scott. How are you doing? How are you? The 30th Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison. Welcome.
Well, I just thought I'd pop in. You know, I was wandering by and saw the light on.
Oh,
welcome, welcome. Could you have brought us a coffee, Scott?
Well, I was hoping there was one in my future, but maybe there isn't yours too.
Yeah, we'll work on it. Yeah. Well, welcome to Perth, mate. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I mean, the place is buzzing after West Coast win on the weekend. I mean, grand finals are awesome.
You were there, weren't you?
I was there, and I was barracking for West Coast. As you know, I don't follow AFL, but it's a great game. And Julie was sitting behind me, and she was going off completely. a lot of Western Australians there, and they were having a great time. But, what I said to the boys yesterday when I went and saw them, it's a massive achievement for them, obviously, just as a professional sports people, and they work all their lives to achieve that. But I think the thing that always really blows them away is just what it means for the fans and the supporters, and they really see it, and they go, gosh, we've really done something huge for our community,
changes
for our
people's
fan
lives.
Base. They get so excited. I mean, that's the great thing about sport. You just forget all the other stuff going on for a little while.
Yeah, a bit of joy.
Shape it a bit.
Yeah.
That's why
but
I
then
love
here
going.
You are. Yeah. Come on, mate. Yeah. Come up with the goods.
Yeah.
How's the gig working out?
Well, look, I'm enjoying getting around and talking to a lot of people. But importantly, it's been about getting the show back on the road very, very quickly. And I think we've done that. And the focus is there. And the ministers are all, getting about their tasks. We're dealing with issues around the drought. We're making some further announcements today around how we're supporting people in their homes as they get older. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going out there with Ken White today to make some announcements there. So that's everything from, making sure that they've got household assistance around the place, even mowing the lawn, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it means they can just stay in their home for longer.
We
announced the Aged Care Royal Commission will be putting the terms of reference out for that fairly soon.
That independence thing is a big deal for people, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally is. I mean... And look, I've got elderly parents. Yeah. My mum's, very healthy. I mean, dad's not so well, but you just want them to be able to age with dignity.
Yes.
And with choices and that the family can sort of just relate to them normally and preferably not in a residential aged care setting if you can avoid it. But if you do, then you make that as accommodating as you can.
Well, there's currently a Royal Commission into the banking industry, as well as the Royal Commission on aged care. Can we get a Royal Commission on petrol prices, please? It's like $1.64 on average in Perth today, and people can't afford it.
Yeah. Well, I saw that, and we've been seeing similar prices more recently over on the East Coast as well. They've been there for a little longer. I mean, but they basically already is with the Australian, with the ACCC. They are the cop on the beat, and they do have the powers to bring actions when the prices are being gamed, and not just with people doing it at the pump locally. I gave them powers when I was treasurer so they can look back behind the pump and see what's doing back in head office, and they get access to documents and things like this.
Right.
And so that's Rob Sims' job. He's the cop on the beat, so expecting him to do that job.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, Prime Minister, welcome, firstly. And, of course, it's been a weird kind of decade, let's be honest.
A weird bit of gear.
Yeah. Now, you said yourself last year that the electorate was infected with entrenched cynicism, et cetera, and that's all true. So here you are, you're a blank sheet of paper in terms of how people view you. Yeah. But you come from a marketing background. What can you tell me? Lie to me. Give me some...
Hang on. That's the first time ever people have openly said to a politician, please lie to me.
An Australian voter.
All I want is a kernel of something that I can hang on to think that we're moving in a grown-up direction in this country.
Well, right off the bat, I talked about making sure Australia remains strong, safe and together. But look, what I hope people are understanding from me is I'm just a guy who gets it. I get it that they want their taxes to be lower, and that's why I lowered them. I get it that they want their jobs to be secure, and they want the economy to be strong. Not just so they got they can be confident about their job, but everything we do, hospitals, schools, all of this depends on the economy being strong. And that's why I think Australians want that. And I get that. And, you know, you can't pay for Medicare if you can't run an economy, you can't run a budget. And I've been able to achieve that both as a treasurer and in other portfolios, but and now as Prime Minister. Keeping Australians safe, that's really important to me. Yeah. And whether it's, you know, bullying in schools or mm-hmm. it's threats of terrorism. And the government has to work across all of these things. But the one area I'm finding people are responding really well to, and it goes to the point you're making, Australians are so over everybody fighting about everything. Mm. Do we really have to fight about everything? Can't we just agree on a few things? And I think that's why people responded really well to the strawberries issue, because they just for once saw, well, here's a problem. Mm. We actually got it legislated in 36 hours.
Yeah.
And I was up at for some strawberry farmers last week, and the response from, you know, I put it all down to Jen's Pavlova personally, but putting it to one side, I mean, people responded. I went to one roadside shop, you know, the fruit shop up in the Sunshine Coast. They went from what is normally 20 trays a day of selling strawberries to 94 in one weekend. And that was just Australians going, yeah, we get it.
Just putting their weight behind it.
Strawberry land
recovery. So I'm a guy who gets it, and I'm also a guy who gets it done.
Okay. Now, you're getting it done. You've got the job now. Now, you work closely, obviously, with Malcolm Turnbull and your friends.
Yeah.
But in the job so far, is there one thing, one little thing, or even a bigger component of the job where you're surprised, and it's something you would only know if it's hard or easy when you're the PM? Is there something in the job that surprised you?
Well, you know, having been a pretty senior member of the government for the last five years, you have a pretty direct insight into the running of the country, particularly working closely with the former Prime Minister. Look, the biggest frustration is just always, whether it's state and territory governments or, you know, it's just trying to get everybody to work together. That's actually the one that's the biggest jobs of the Prime Minister. When you're the Treasurer, you're putting a budget together. When you're the Immigration Minister, you're running the immigration program. You know, you've got line responsibilities. But as a Prime Minister, it's your job to try and bring the whole orchestra together and not just your own team. But as the leader of the nation, it is, you know, it's outside of government as well. I mean, for the drought at the moment, Major General Stephen Day, he's coordinating our response to the drought. And one of the biggest areas he's identified, and I know it's more affects the East Coast states, obviously not here in the West. The West are doing great and actually getting feed across to the other side of the country. And thanks for that. But coordinating the charitable support. So making sure that, you know, we don't run that, but we need to make sure the charities all work together so it gets to where it needs to get to. And I mean, one of the problems we had is people were sending tins of food and all these sorts of things, but that's great for the farmer, but then the local greengrocer and the local shopping centre goes broke and we want the towns to remain viable. So it's that is the job. You've got to bring everybody together to focus on the big challenges.
Can you work with Bill Shorten?
Well, yeah. Well, we did the strawberries thing the other day, but look, politics in Australia, you know, is always going to be the Westminster system's based on there being an opposition and a government. Yep. So I don't think we should be unrealistic about it. But there have been occasions where we have, but there'll be other occasions where we don't. I certainly hope he's going to work with me on the GST. I mean, we've got $4.7 billion in extra support deserved. It's not charity. It's what WA deserves and has always deserved. And so I'm going to be introducing legislation when we go back to make sure that WA GST deal sticks. And he votes for it, it's done. 10 years, 15 years, 10 years at least, this has been an issue, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all done when we go back to Parliament, and all he has to do is vote for it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Scott Morrison, get out there and go and do it. You said that you get it, and it's time to go and do it. But before you go, we've been taking calls this morning on the little things that annoy people that you has to be right.
Okay.
Now, for Matt, he hates when people are late.
Sorry about that.
You're forgiven, PM. Yeah, even if you're forgiven.
I straighten shoes, and Kimber doesn't get on a treadmill if it's crooked. What's the one thing that you have to get right before you leave home or work or the office?
Oh, you know, it's a simple rule. Pants first, shoes second.
Yep.
That always usually works for me.
Yep, good start.
And if you get that right, I think you can get the rest right. But can I tell you one thing, one of the coolest things I've got to do over the last month?
Yeah.
I got to meet Will.i.am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, because they played at the grand final. And I like a lot of these reality television shows, and I always love the Voice. I don't know if that breaches any sort of, you know, commercial.
No.
We have to shut you down. We're dumping him.
Yeah.
But I really liked Will.i.am, and I was like a kid.
Yes.
Just going up, we got a little selfie and all the rest of it. And he was a really lovely bloke. He was a really, really nice guy. And he just loves Australia too. And so he was just really happy to be there. So
he's got it together. You know,
It's a very serious job. I know that, and everyone knows I do take it seriously. But every now and then, meeting Will.i.am was cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Nice. Good one. Nice.
a big Tina Arena fan like me.
Yeah. Let's get it started right there for the Black Eyed Peas. The 30th Prime Minister Scott Morrison. All the best.
Thanks, guys. Great to be here.
The Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
We're down to the business end of things. Very much the semi-final stage in The Bachelor on Channel 10, the penultimate episode tonight at 7:30.
Mm.
And the man himself who hosts the show, he sees so much, not just of the contestants, but also of the honey badger himself.
Yes.
Osher Gunsberg's on the line. Osher, good morning, mate.
Osher?
Osher's gone missing.
Osher?
He's busy gathering roses right now.
Is he? Yes.
Yeah. Well, all we can do is try again. If he's not there, we're going to have...
Osher! There you are, mate. Gathering roses, mate. How are you?
Oh, good, I'm good. Sorry, I thought I didn't have you for a moment there.
Oh, we thought we'd lost you. Osher, it's the semi-final for The Bachelor. We're very excited. But your gig's the best ever. Do you just rock up to the mansion 15 minutes early, drop off a date card and then head home? Are you actually hanging out with them?
If it looks like that's what I'm doing, then I've done my job well.
Oh, so you spend more time there.
Like your job, people just think that you roll in at 6 o'clock when the news finishes. And
yeah.
you know, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah. Okay, so you're getting to know them then in the house.
There's a fair amount of work that goes on, yeah. And it's also being there for Badge, which is also a big part of it. And that's a big part of it.
Oh, Badge, the honey badger himself, Nick Cummins.
You are. You're a great.
He's not a small man.
No, he's not. He's not a small man. But you are a wonderful emotional support, Osher. There's no doubt about that. And you've made that the sound of saying goodbye so wonderful. I mean, you know that. Everyone talks about it. It is the sad. You bring such sadness and gravitas to it's time to leave the mansion. And I wondered because you know we have a game we play called Secret Sound here. And we have to tell...
I've never heard of that on radio before.
No, it's a brand new thing. It's
much like Beat the Bomb.
Yeah, we're breaking new ground here in Perth Breakfast Radio. And, of course, we have to sometimes, well, quite often say, sorry, you didn't get the secret sound.
Mm.
Well, I wondered if you would do that for us in your best Undertaker voice.
Okay, then. Well, as long as you pay Warner Brothers a license fee.
Oh, very good.
They own the Osher tone of disappointment.
Okay, no, fair enough.
Hey, mate, I wanted to know about behind the scenes on the show. There are candles.
Yes.
There's so much going on. The set of the candles, in fact, every possible date imaginable. There's a lot going on and a lot of producers, I would imagine, running around. What is the number of, you know, the number of people running around and how many people are doing multiple jobs?
Well, we don't because, you know, it's a television set is a tightly orchestrated environment. So nobody really does multiple jobs. Everyone has their own gig. We have people who are our art department. They yep. literally, their job is to walk around and light the candles and then afterwards to blow all the candles out. That is their job.
Specialists.
They are hundreds and hundreds of candles. I think on a minimum cocktail party rose ceremony night, there's usually around 45 to 50 people there. It's a big shoot. It's a really, really big shoot. It takes a lot of people to make this kind of television, which is, you know, really, really great. And it's kind of fun this year that you're seeing a few of those people.
We
break the fourth wall a bit this season. I kind of like that because it's important to remember that these are real people with real emotions and, you know, we're there for them. And it's really important that you can see that. And I'm kind of grateful about that. But it's like any, you know, it's like your radio show. There's heaps of people that people will never hear that without them, you can't do your job.
Mm.
We just, you know, we're just the pilots of the plane. There's a plane full of people in the back that, you know, if they're not all there, we can't do our job.
But, darling, they will never understand what the talent goes through, surely.
Mate, I don't know what your gig is, but now we're in the post-GFC world of television. It's not like it used to be.
By the way, did we introduce Mr. Darcy? He's on our show.
Now, Osher, there are rumours, because we are down to the top three tonight for Honey Badger. He's got Brittany, Brooke and Sophie to choose from, and tomorrow night he'll be choosing his lovely lady. Now, there are rumours already that Nick has ditched the winner and gone back to Cassie, a move not dissimilar to Blake Garvey a few seasons ago. Can you tell us, are Nick and Cassie back together?
Well, you know, of course, none of the rumours you hear are true because that's why they're called rumours. But I would be very surprised if anyone pulls the Garvey manoeuvre out of the playbook. I mean, it's a bold play. The evidence is fairly conclusive as to how the public would treat you if he were to do that. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, I don't know that anyone would do that. rumours are rumours, man, because people want to... There's one thing that humans love. It's we love to know what is the truth, okay? And if we can't get access to the truth, we'll make stuff up. And then what happens is that one person says it's another person, then that ends up in a tweet which ends up on being discussed on radio, then someone writes an article about it online, and then that becomes, you know, reposted on Facebook, and then someone tweets about that. The cycle's complete, and now you've got something that looks like the reality, but it's not true.
Wow.
And that happens all over the news all the time, and we just happen to be the focus of it this week.
Well, I guess the only thing left to say is, Osher, it's been an absolute pleasure, but it's time to end the interview.
Oh, I like that, but the transition into whisper needs to be a lot more subtle.
Tips from behind the scenes.
I'm getting tips. Yeah. Wicked.
You got to put the clutch in and then just go back down at a second.
Okay. I'm talking to an expert at the game.
Good on you, man.
Funny how you mentioned about 45 people behind the scenes. Matt made coffee, your tea for the three of us this morning, so that's how it works here.
I'm at your service. I'll leave you with a cryptic clue for Thursday night.
Oh.
Two words, joli fromage. That's all, okay.
I don't know, but there's cheese there. There's cheese and I'm turning up.
Yep, cheese and champagne.
Love it.
Thanks, buddy. All the best.
See you soon. Love you. Bye.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
This coming Sunday, the 7th at 7 p.m. It's a new show called All Together Now. It's Seven's new singing show, together with Julia Zemiro, the host, and 100 performers, led by the one and only Ronan Keating. Julia is the host. Julia, welcome.
Good morning to you all. How are you going there?
We're very well. Now, Julia, I'm just going to say, we've got a gorgeous picture of you this week in the West Australian.
Mm.
I mean,
it is
a real beauty. If you don't have a copy, we are very happy to send you one.
Well, I was probably there when they took it.
You were.
But I have to say, photo shoots are one of those things that every time I do one, I think, how have you not learned how to do this better year after year after year? Mm. Do you like getting your photo taken? I find it very challenging still.
Not
very challenging.
Not
it's awful.
No. Yeah. We hate it, but this one of you is a corker, so well, you nailed it.
Right. Have I got clothes on?
Yes.
Have I?
You do.
Chris, but am I?
Not on the copy on my locker door, but anyway, that's another issue.
Now, Julia, tell us about All Together Now. 100 judges, one singer. How does it all work?
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, do we need another singing show? So I never thought I'd go over to a commercial station and do this kind of show. I've been tempted sometimes, but I saw the English version and I thought, oh, hang on. This is a very sweet show. This is a show that is actually about getting up and joining in. And I think as the host, I could make it my own. So you get an amazing contestant comes out. They start to sing their song. 30 seconds in, 100 judges can buzz their buzzer, stand up and join in singing. So it ends up being the whole room ends up singing. Now, those 100 judges, they come from all different walks of life, but the thing that connects them is they're all into music in some way, either as performers or managers or agents. And they love music. And in a way, it's like getting 100 general public. It's 100 general opinions, different opinions about what they find entertaining.
Okay.
Now, Julia, you and I have got something in common. You and I have the same karaoke track. It's this one here.
These boots are made for...
Yes.
Oh.
And that's just what they'll do.
So cool.
It's a good one, isn't it?
What I love about it, Kimber, is that it's kind of a talking, singing song.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, because karaoke often, the equipment's terrible. Yeah. And so you don't want to be trying to knock Robbie Williams, the Kylie Minogue kids out of the park, which I tried once. Doesn't work, does it? Be sassy. And I can imagine you, Kimber, sassy in some cowboy boots.
I do try to be a bit sassy with it. And I mean, is the show going to be like that, a bit more karaoke, or are we going to have the serious Susan Boyles up there trying to change our minds?
Oh, no, you'll definitely have a mixture. And that's what we want. We want each show for you to go from one minute you're going from opera to musical theatre to Pink. You know what I mean?
It's that kind of
range.
Hey, movie star, can I have your autograph?
Yes.
Look,
yes, you may.
I know you've done an accidental soldier a few years ago, but the barbecue,
yes.
How was that? How was that experience?
There's a lot of waiting around in making film and TV like that. There's a lot of downtime, and I just feel like I'm 52. I haven't got time to wait around. I love hosting and doing jobs like that where you get up, do the job, get off.
Mm.
The waiting around was too much. So unless I write my own film that I feel like I would be involved in, 24 hours a day,
I don't know if it's my medium anymore. There's just so much waiting. Yeah.
Yeah, hurry up and wait.
Yeah, a lady's journey through Azerbaijan.
Oh, look at you at an Azerbaijan reference. Good on you.
Thank you. Good job. Well, he loves Eurovision too.
Of course.
Rock was in Perth Friday, November 30, December 1 at Frio Prison. Sold out, Julia Zemiro. Très bien.
Look, we're so excited. Merci. We are always so excited to come to Perth and play. And we'll see with the jail. I can't wait. We've never performed there before.
It's really a great spot.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
It's the morning after the night before. The headline from Channel 10 about The Bachelor's epic and emotional grand finale is that Nick, as in the Honey Badger Cummins, made the toughest decision of his life last night. Not choosing either of the two final girls.
Has that ever happened before?
No.
Okay.
No, well, not in the Australian, not in the Australian
series
version.
First, Roz, yeah. This is a little bit of how it unfolded last night.
I like you a lot, Sophie. Ooh. I am not able, with all my conscience, to wholeheartedly commit to you. I've developed strong feelings for you, Brittany. And right now, I can't give 100% of me to you.
Ooh.
Oh dear!
You know, did he just cheat off his own exam? Like he wrote the notes for the first one and then just sort of slightly altered the words a little for the second.
Yeah, right. Well, I guess when you get a good speech, stick to it.
I actually didn't have a lot to say last night, to be honest, for a finale.
Of course
he did
not.
A lot of licking of the lips and stuff like that. Sophie is online. Sophie, we really like you a lot too.
Oh, thank you very much. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Welcome.
Sophie, you get to do all the media junket this morning because, conveniently, the Honey Badger's taken off to the Kokoda Trail and can't talk. But tell us, Soph, does Nick have a finely tuned ability to make you feel like the connection is more significant than it really is? Because it feels like lots of the girls in the house felt like they were the one and were blindsided.
Look, I was really certain in my connection with Nick, what I was feeling, and I feel like it was being reciprocated, certainly.
Yeah.
I think it just came down to the environment for him. I really do. He's very free-spirited and organic, and I think it was just getting too much for him, and I think maybe it was a gradual checkout for him. I don't know.
Do you think...
guess it's as good as mine.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, look, you know, I'm watching a television show, so I don't know what's going on in people's hearts or minds, but from the very early days, I was looking at it going, I don't know if he's ready for this. Like, is that how you feel now?
I do think there's an element of him just not being ready. Yeah, I do, because, I mean, as soon as it ended, he'd been travelling and, you know, doing things on his own.
Yeah.
And so, I think that definitely comes into play. I think there's just heaps of little reasons that just built and built over time, and he just couldn't do it. He couldn't commit. I've got so many questions of my own, but it is the way you see it. He says thanks, no thanks. You leave, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, we
don't catch up over a beer or anything like that. Quite dry.
We looked at his Instagram account and he was living the life of Riley, which he continues to do, and I think the Kokoda thing is part of that. He's a very busy man at this point. But Sophie, what about when Brittany came back and he hadn't chosen her as well? Your reaction was priceless, but could you believe it?
Oh, look, my facials aren't short of anything but expressive, are they? Oh my God, Sophie. That was a very raw and organic response to, what was a massive bomb drop, to put it politely. I thought it was a joke initially. I really did. I thought that, she was joking. And I don't know, it was a bit of an out-of-body experience. I don't really remember it, to be honest. I just wanted to close my eyes, open them again, and be at home.
Yeah.
I've been through a lot. And then to have this sort of ending, I'm just over it.
Well, and you know you have to face it again because you've put yourself out there. You know it's going to television. Everyone's going to watch all of this unfold months later, and you're going to be part of that. Have you met someone else now?
No, I haven't. I'm possibly one of the most eligible bachelorettes in Australia today, along with Brittany.
Good girl.
It's all right, Sophie. Now you know what you're looking for. Do you and Brittany feel like you were played in the end?
Oh, I just don't know. Look, to keep my sanity, I'm going to keep telling myself he was there for the right reasons, and it just all became too much for him, because otherwise, you know, I don't want to come out of the whole thing too damaged.
No. Yeah, yep.
Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, I do feel like I wasted a bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just what can you do? I'm just glad the last episode has aired and you finally move on.
You can move on with your life. Yeah.
Well, Sophie, you and Brittany both handled it very well. You came across very, at no point did it look like you'd done anything wrong.
Actually, Brittany looked a bit more angry immediately.
Yeah, no, it was very mature.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. I mean, we had no idea what was going to be shown. We weren't even sure if they were going to show Brittany telling me, there's a lot of footage there and they can kind of pick and choose what they want to show. But, yeah, we're pretty happy with how the thing's being portrayed. I mean, it is what it is. And what you see is exactly what, we encountered on that day. So I'm pretty happy that, at the end of the day, I've got Brittany by my side. Very, very much.
Well, it was one of the more bizarre endings to a series of The Bachelor or Bachelorette with Nick, sort of putting his hands on his knees, sort of, and then just walking off, looking like he had no idea what he was doing. Hey, Sophie, all the best and good to talk to you.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good day.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for Allianz Home and Motor Insurance. Allianz.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekday mornings from 6 on Mix 94.5.